Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. The Bonner Breakdown is here for conversation, connection, and to find things to celebrate. So get your glass, cup, or mug ready as we celebrate with a cheers to the good report. In today's episode, we have Joel Espiro from Joel's Restaurant and a Sandpoint City Council member. We discuss his history and all of the different topics of the day and how to heal our community. Enjoy today's episode. All right, well, welcome to another episode of the Bonner Breakdown. I'm here with Joel Espiro. Yeah. Joel, it's good to have you
thanks,
on, man.
It's good to be here. It's been a long time coming. I mean,
yeah,
we tried earlier before COVID, and then it just all...
Yeah, everything. Yeah. I think a lot of things said pause or
right.
Zoom.
Yep,
you know,
yeah.
Like
exactly.
There was no middle ground during mm-hmm. that whole process. So
very true.
Yeah, and it's been kind of crazy ever since.
Still is. Yeah.
Still is.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, in many
yeah.
facets in life. So.
Yeah. So well, let's start off with a good report, right?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to talk about all the negatives,
it is.
All the craziness,
it is.
But we need some good news. You got any
Absolutely.
Good news?
I do. 2 weeks ago, I had a baby. Baby number four. My wife and I, we had a baby.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
She did the hard work. You know?
Yeah, for real.
So it was baby number four for us. We have three girls, our first boy. And it's just such a joy.
Come on.
So yeah, it is great. So, I mean, it's a very good report, but it's also a very busy time to have
right.
a baby. But my three daughters are like three little moms, so they always want to help.
So fun.
Oh, it's great. It is wonderful.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, you know, you can't find good employees. You got to make them, you know?
That's right. That's right. That's, you know, that's family tradition.
Right. That's right.
Right. You know, yeah. Like I would make the joke to my kids that dishes was one of the primary reasons I had them.
That's,
so,
that's right.
You know, when they were little, they're like, dad, yeah. I'm like,
right?
Come on.
That's part of the deal.
You got to get to work.
Yeah. Well, I got to brag on my wife a little bit because,
yeah.
Man, the kids wake up and they do the dishwasher. They unload it or they load it.
Mm-hmm.
Feed the dogs. They do their quick little chores real quick, get their treat, and get to play all day.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty cool. So,
yeah.
I mean, if I was in charge of that house, no, that wouldn't be the case.
Right. Come on. Where's the Xbox?
Like, let's go play. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's great.
No,
that's
good.
Awesome.
Good stuff, man. So, that's a good report.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're very thankful.
That's
so.
Super, super exciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think families are the backbone of our culture and
right.
nation. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, when good people raise good kids, man, it's
right.
exciting
and,
to see.
And, you know, for me, my perspective is we're only here for a little bit. You know, I look back, I'm like, I'm already 32. And
right.
next
Time
thing
flies.
You know, boom. And so what can we do, and what kind of legacy, for lack of better words, can we do? Like, hey, kids, this is
come on
what we believe. And what can you do to make this community, this world, a better place, a kinder place?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
it, man, for real. Yeah.
Well, my good report is that people are actually starting to ask the questions around what does a kind community look like?
Right.
And to me, that's a good report.
Very.
Right. Because I think there's been a lot of craziness in this community mm-hmm. lately, but people are actually, I think, starting to go, wait, what would a kind community look like? And
mm-hmm.
what should it look like?
Right.
Because it's going to look different for a lot of different people. I think I'm hoping that we've got some strong people in our community that are going to continue to step up and,
right.
and cast a big vision, you know, for
yep.
what's possible,
yeah.
you know, here. So I think it's a good report because if you don't have the conversation, nothing's happening.
Right.
If
no,
you're not
absolutely.
Willing to ask the question, nothing's moving. And lots of people are having mm-hmm. hard conversations and,
yep.
you know, letting their voice be heard, clearly, with
yeah.
the city council
yeah,
meeting
absolutely.
Last night.
Yeah.
You know, letting their voice
one
be heard.
One of many,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I think that's all good.
Right.
You know, I think it's all just part of the good report. I was telling you earlier, a friend of mine, actually, that I do some work with out of California, he says that the new superpower is listening.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think we're all being forced to
mm-hmm.
step back and do some listening. Hopefully we're doing some listening. So, hey,
yeah.
man, cheers.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers to the good
that.
Report.
Mm. Yeah, with that, I mean, the superpower listening, right? I mean, we're so
yeah,
used
yeah.
to just talking, myself included. You know,
yeah.
I'm a very big talker. I mean, and what I do is customer support. So it's constantly talking, but there's so much value. You know, we're used to like Facebook or social media, whatever we're thinking or feeling, it's just pop, pop, pop. But how often do we stop
yeah.
and value the person
yeah.
that's trying to talk to us,
come
right?
On,
or
good.
Communicate. And You know, I've been off social media for almost a year and a half, and personal choice, and it was one of the best things that's ever happened to me as an individual, and how much it not only helped me as a husband, as a father, but as a friend, right? As as a boss, as so many aspects, not perfectly, of course, but it certainly helped me in many respects. And to that key thing you just said, to listen. So I think on social media, it's just so much information, just so much, right? We just, we're almost reactionary. Yeah. We're like, oh, I got to say something right now.
Yeah. And let me just do a quick plug.
Go ahead, please.
You can get the Bonner Breakdown anywhere you get podcasts. Mm-hmm. You can get it on YouTube. You don't have to get it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think a lot of people think that's the primary source. But if you're not on Facebook, you can share this from YouTube. You can email it to somebody, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I think being able to hear the conversations that are happening, at least here, are important. So you don't have to be on social media to interact with this show. So.
Right. And to confess to you, I didn't know a lot about this.
Sure. Yeah. Most people
even though, you know, glimpse here and there, but I didn't know a lot about it. But just recently hearing like, oh, this is going on, and you reached out to me before COVID. And one thing I appreciate about it, and where I was excited to be on here, was people are afraid to talk to somebody that believes something different.
Right.
And for me personally, I've always been, more recently, past few years, I'd rather be in a room with people that disagree with me, but know what they believe.
Yeah.
Than in a room full of people that may agree with me, but they don't really know why they believe what they believe.
Yep. Yeah.
So I have a lot more fun in the other side than that, me personally. Yeah, you know,
good.
I enjoy that because it helps me sharpen my mindset, my worldview, and it challenges me.
Yeah.
And I think when we challenge ourselves in that arena, then we are able to be better politicians or husbands, fathers,
business owners, absolutely. I mean, whatever you're doing.
If we're honest, there's a fear there. Right? There's a fear of what if they ask a question and I don't know.
Well, I think those are some of the three most powerful words for any leader. I don't know. That's a tool in the tool belt.
And, you know, with that, I think that it's okay to not know sometimes.
Totally.
I feel that the stronger, I mean, for me, I don't have a problem. I don't think I have a problem saying, I just don't know. Yeah. I can give you off the top of my head why I might believe this, but I'm okay with stepping back and saying, let me research that more. And I think that's also part of the problem recently. We have so much information coming out at us, like constant. Like, I'm not even on social media right now, and it's still
hammered
constant, right? And I'm like, okay, totally. And I feel that pressure of, I need to have an answer right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay shallow. We don't really dig deep into who we are or what we really believe and why. We're not, but because we feel so tempted, like, I got to give an answer right now, or I'll look dumb, or I'll feel dumb, or this.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can't be experts at everything.
Well, and that's just humility. You know, I think just taking an honest scope of yourself and being able to look at yourself humbly and go, oh, I might not be an expert at everything, you know, because I think that's a, that's just a good trait to carry. Well, I'm glad you're here, because I love to hear more about how people think than necessarily what they think.
Right.
I think, because oftentimes we will lose sight of who people are because they believe something, but we haven't assessed how they got there or why they think the way that they think, or, you know, some people are I make the comparison a lot between Democrats and Republicans, and just in general, because there's actually a different mindset that drives people on the left than people on the right.
It's a worldview.
It's a worldview. And some of it's empathy on one side and respect on the other. And if you could put two big characteristics that I think actually work pretty well, is high empathy on one side and high respect on 100%. The other. And I think, great, honor that.
Right. 100%.
Like, there's a way to navigate this and find a way to have respect for people you might disagree with, because you can understand more about how they think.
Yep. Those are very,
not just what they think.
Yeah. Very good points. And it's funny, cause when I remember running for city council, and one of the biggest things is like, hey, are you Republican or Democrat? You know, are you left wing or right wing?
Chicken wing.
That's what I say. I'm like, left wing, right wing, chicken wing. Everybody likes chicken wings.
Shout out to Ryan. He used that on the show a lot.
So it's like, and I'm like, well, one, this is nonpartisan position, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that and I respect that because I believe we get stuck in boxes sometimes.
For real.
And it's easy. It's comfortable.
Totally easy, yeah.
And I don't mean that in disrespect, but it is comfortable to just kind of like, okay, I'm safe here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can check out, but my perspective is like, bring me the issue and I can tell you, give you an answer.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate in my opinion that we get to that point of boxes and I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, worldview is important, right? A network of presuppositions that we based our life on, whether it's ethics, what, you know,
faith.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, there's lots of pieces,
which is why it's important to understand that we're all biased.
Yeah.
You know, we all are. And for me, that's okay. I think it's very important. I've said this to people that at least just try to understand your biases. Therefore, when you talk to somebody or you make a decision, you can be aware of your biases and why you're making that decision.
That's right. Yep.
And so I think,
well, and that's a set, you assess your filter.
Yeah.
You know, like we all have our bias, but then the nice thing about being human is that you can assess what filter you're putting on your bias.
Right.
You know, is it a good one? Is it a moral filter? Mm-hmm. Is it what's good for whole society? You know, all that kind of stuff. And man, sometimes we just got to step back from, you know, I think you can spot your bias when you're angry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can spot your bias when you're upset and go, oh, why am I so upset?
You can even spot it when you just see somebody walking down the road and you catch yourself with that thought, right?
There you go.
And I'm like, yo, that's not cool, Joel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and just being honest with ourselves.
That's right. That's good. Well, let's dive into Joel a little bit.
Yeah,
I want to hear some of your history. So for anybody who has no idea who you are, tell us a little bit about your background, coming to Idaho.
So
give me the overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So we moved to Idaho when I was around 8, right? Okay. From San Diego, California. You know, my family's from Mexico and moved to the US to do the American dream, right?
Right, yeah.
And so part of that was making a taco truck and moving to Sandpoint and working hard. And so I was you know, people go, how do you find Sandpoint? My dad used to always, he'd just say, ran out of gas, you know? So, you know, and that's
called it home.
Yeah. So, my aunt was up here before us. So kind of followed suit there and just more of a calmer area. I mean, who wouldn't want to raise their kids
here,
right? And so, I mean, we see that every year, right? An influx of people. So started there and, the restaurant started in a taco truck for a couple years and then moved to a little shack for about a year and then to the spot where it's at now in 2005.
Was that 05?
Okay. 05. And so, you know, I chose to just be a part of the family business and work there. And I have been ever since. And it's been a great journey because we're all different. We all have different gifts. And I believe mine in particular was dealing with people and customer service. And so I really enjoyed that. And so I do it to this day. And I've been there ever since. And so with that, being part of the community in that way, being part of the community in sports, me playing sports, and also trying to give back in coaching and being a part of the community that way, really, I saw an opportunity in politics to serve.
Okay.
And being part of a business and being a voice, you know, being part of the solution or be part of the problem.
Right.
And I'm not saying there was a lot to fix, but at least being there.
Yeah.
And using that opportunity.
Yeah.
And had no idea what to expect, to be honest.
Was there anything in particular that you remember that you would go, that really stood out to you, or a decision that was made or something that happened that made you go, you know, I need to step into politics?
That was a long time ago. This whole 2 months has felt like it's been like,
right?
10 like, years, man. I was trying, you know, especially after 4 kids, I'm like trying to think back.
How long have you been on city council?
It's 2 years. Okay. So it's a 4-year term. Mm-hmm. I have 2 more years and can decide what,
yeah,
I want to do
down the road,
see how the family's doing, see how I'm doing, you know, assess when we get there. I don't, you know, it's all good to me, you know.
Yeah.
But I think just be trying to serve the community in that capacity. I knew I started going to council meetings even before I started to run. I'm like, hey, I want to know what's going on. Politics, whether we like it or not, is part of everybody's world.
That's right.
Whether you're passive or active in it.
That's right.
You're essentially doing something.
Well, and if you're passive, then you get angry at the people right. who are active.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just but being, it's just true. Saying. Yeah, just saying. But being in like customer service my whole life and talking to people, you start to, when you talk and you engage and you listen and you value them, you start to see like, hey, there's a lot more, there's a lot under the surface that you right. may not know, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And being part of, you know, politics here, I don't, it's different than going to be in a larger city, you know?
Totally, yeah.
We know people yeah. sitting there and yeah. talking to us.
Yeah, it should be somewhat more relational.
Yes, and okay. so that's big for me.
Okay.
And where I'm at, you know, we got every political end of the spectrum that's a customer, and I get correct. To engage
yeah. Yeah.
with them and talk to them and hear different ideas or perspectives yeah. and sometimes they help me and sometimes they don't, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So why not bring that aspect to the political realm, even if it's somebody that I may disagree with, but
right
yeah, I feel that if somebody disagrees with me but they feel safe, we can get a lot more accomplished in the community in a conversation.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
But
yeah.
to be honest, in a lot of experience, some people don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed.
Like who? How would you describe that?
It has nothing to do
not
with
an individual
your political yeah. Affiliation as much as you as an individual, where we're not used to that.
Okay.
We're used to being criticized
right.
for what we believe. Yep. We're yep. used to being judged.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird sometimes when you're kind and you are listening and you're dialoguing, it's almost like, okay, I don't feel safe. What do I do? Now, some very much feel safe and it's great, but some, yep. it's interesting, you know?
Well, and you'll see, you know, like I've made it a point to make this show one of those spaces, mm-hmm. right? And you'll see people that are nervous or mm-hmm. anxious about their opinion, and it takes them a little while to kind of loosen up and go, okay, this isn't an attack session
yeah.
or anything. Like someone's actually trying right. to figure some things out. And that is difficult because some people will make judgments because you listen.
Mm-hmm. No. So it's been very interesting, especially yeah. in the political realm. But
yeah.
I made wow. it. I did my best a while back, especially when I knew, okay, I was going to council okay. meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this is something that I'd like to try.
Yeah.
And what I learned for myself, just me, was I actually like being told I'm wrong. Because I feel if you're going to
tell... You're wrong.
Yeah. So I would therefore then I would ask,
yeah,
well,
right.
well, why am I wrong,
yeah.
Mr. Chris? You know,
yeah, help
and that's
me out.
Because I'm like at that point, I
that's
feel
awesome.
The onus is on them to have a dialogue with me now.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Which
yeah.
you can get a lot more done. Like, I'd like to hear why you think I'm wrong. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And learned, especially in customer service, not to be easily offended.
Right.
And that's a big thing. And it took time and it was
mm-hmm.
hard.
Mm-hmm.
But just learning more about myself and humans and life, that usually when people are overreacting to something,
uh-huh.
It's usually not about me.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
so learning
yeah.
how not to take that
yeah.
personal in the,
oh, that's good. That's
in the
good.
Business realm with customer service.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, it's hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes, you know, especially when you're tired or whatever, you don't want
mm-hmm.
to think
yeah.
that way.
Yeah. So when you ran, what were some of the biggest lessons you gained from running a campaign to get elected? And it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now,
one thing was, listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that position as you run, it's almost like there's a demand for answers. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do about this?
Mm.
And it's interesting because especially when you're running a political race and I never looked at it personally as I'm running against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I see an open seat and that's what I'm going to run for. If I get it, great. If I
mm-hmm.
don't, great. There wasn't a lot. I didn't
yeah.
feel a lot of pressure personally. But you get that, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix this? How are you going to do that? But I knew enough
mm-hmm.
about politics where I'm like, that's not how it works. If I get elected, I will see how it goes. It really was, mm-hmm. I don't have a complete answer for you. Yeah. I couldn't tell you. Now, somebody who is running that mm-hmm. is an incumbent, they can give a better perspective on that. And I think that's to their advantage.
Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, cause they've seen behind Wizard of Oz curtain.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like, what are you going to do about the housing issue? And I said, nothing. It's been the same topic for the past how many years?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can just fix.
Yep.
So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you like, yeah, I'm going to tackle that. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Just as an example.
No, but this comes down to this concept though of how do you think, right? And mm-hmm. so what are some of the principles that are like bedrock for you in decision-making when you're looking at situations?
It depends on the situation. Making sure that I am not, especially in a small town where you know a lot of people, right? Like, why am I making this decision?
Yeah. Okay. So checking your motive.
Checking motives is huge.
That's good. Okay.
Right? And you're not going to ever do it perfectly, but that's a very big one, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I do enjoy people saying, hey, I think you're wrong, or can I invite you to a different perspective?
Right.
You know, and that's mm-hmm. a very big deal because, that's why I'm like, people go like, are you left wing or right wing? Are you Democrat, Republican? I'm like, talk to me about an issue and I will tell you what I believe and why I believe it. And that's, like I said, hard for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
maybe there's a new tribe, right? Maybe there's a I'm willing to look at the issue by the issue.
Right. And I think that's why me personally, I wouldn't do good in bigger politics. Right.
Okay.
I just don't think I would.
Yeah. If you had to toe a party line.
Yeah. I just, you know, I don't think I would. I have no problem. Like, I don't have that pressure of like, oh, I got to stay elected or I got to stay this, you know, it's like,
right.
I'm Joel, an imperfect man that's willing to talk to you and do some things. And I'm going to make mistakes, right?
Right.
I'm going to make mistakes.
Say it in the camera, brother. It's like... say it again. Hey, Lenny, switch that over. Right. Get it over. Get it. Okay, say it one more time.
Yeah.
switch the camera onto him. Just him. All right, say it again.
I'm going to make mistakes.
There
okay?
you go. Okay. Thanks, man. Thanks, Lenny.
It's funny.
Lenny's our producer, by the way. He's awesome.
So, and that's one of the things, right, is like, One of the biggest things for me is, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Can you please define, are you conservative? What do you mean by that? Are mm-hmm. you liberal? What do you mean by that? Define your terms, please. Therefore, I can give you a more honest answer.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because I feel like, like, for example, like on social media or text messaging in general, right? Like somebody will say something, text somebody something, and they're taking it how they are feeling in that moment.
Right.
And this person's smiling while the person receiving it's like,
that
son of a gun.
Yeah.
I can't believe they just said that.
Yeah.
And it's like this.
Same thing with Facebook posts, man.
Right. And where I'm like, can you please define your terms? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that does a couple of things. One, mm-hmm. I'm able to really understand what you're trying
good.
To say.
That's good.
But also two, it helps me think about my answer.
That's good.
And I think that's very important to have dialogue. And I think people would be amazed how much you can accomplish in dialogue with that. But So restaurant, Idaho, when I was 8, been doing that ever since, you know, volunteer coaching, things like that. But
so what's your, what would you say is probably your favorite part about living in North Idaho, Sandpoint?
So I'm definitely not a big city guy personally. I remember visiting Chicago one time and just the amount of anxiety that it gave me, just like, okay, I got to catch this trolley or this train and go here. I did not feel that I had time to really just think.
Wow.
Now I do believe that would probably, you get used to it,
the flow,
but even then when I watch people, I see them and you just see, and this is my opinion, this sense of just, I don't know if apathy is the right word, but no engagement, no talking. Mm. And so living in a small town like Sandpoint, of course you got the beauty of it, but me just the peace of mind of like, I can breathe.
Mm.
I know I can chill. Mm. I can talk to so-and-so. It's just, at the end of the day, it's safe.
Yeah, come on.
You know, it's very safe. It's very friendly. And it's very peaceful.
Yeah.
And I like that.
All right.
And,
that's awesome.
And part of that's my personality. Mm-hmm. You know, I like knowing what's going on and, for lack of better words, being in control of my surroundings and knowing what to expect, where some people like that rat race, you know, some people do.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
Yeah. Mm, that's good. That's good. So do you want to talk about some issues of the day?
Yeah, so whatever things, you want, things man. Going and, on. And I'd like to shed some light on something.
Yeah, go for it.
Because it is a small town, like we're talking about communication and understanding terms is like, even in this conversation, right? People may be watching and be like, I can't believe he just said that. Or he said this, where I'm like, hey, come talk to me. You know, if there's something you don't understand or you want to understand more, it's like, I don't hide from anybody. I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
I've been really, you know, I've had the privilege of interviewing everybody, but two, you know, county commissioners or to city council people. And I've, you know, interviewed all the county commissioners. I've interviewed the mayor of Sandpoint. I've had one-on-one conversations with a lot of people across the spectrum. Everyone is accessible. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a single person who's like, don't message me. Don't talk to me. They're like, I mean, I remember Dan McDonald pulled his cell phone and he was like, get on air. Like, here's my phone number. Call me, you know, like you got something to say, like, let's have the conversation. Yep. So that I think might be unique. Maybe it's not, but it feels unique.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's really cool about our community is that people who are elected seem like they want to have, you might not like it, the conversation, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it might not be going the way you want it to go, but they'll have the conversation. Right. It seems that everybody wants to be accessible, which
absolutely.
Is cool.
Absolutely, so, man. Yeah. Yeah. So, any questions?
Well, so tell me about, you know, kind of this, where we're at, from your perspective with the city and the processes and everything that's going on with COVID-19 and, and that, any updates or thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, we had a meeting last night and, we're still in stage four. I believe there was some feel of maybe going back or not.
Back of stage.
And,
and
that's very tough. And I'm very aware it's a passionate thing, especially when you're talking about people's health and things of that nature. And it's very controversial. And some would probably be like, well, it shouldn't be controversial. It's just do this, and you're good. And I believe almost every person would, as they believe that, would also understand, like, it's multifaceted. You got businesses. It's unprecedented times, and navigating through that is very difficult, especially for a city, you know, a body of six elected, seven, you know, one mayor, six council members, and trying to do what you believe is best for the community on top of the political aspect of it, of, you know, mask or no mask, things like that. And
It is hard.
It's very emotional, very wearing. I feel like I've had a constant headache for the past 2 months, you know.
Yeah.
And stress and anxiety, things like that, where you have to learn how to deal with and what's best, and doing my best to not be judgmental, and doing my best not to be like, no, you got to do it this way. And you know, trying to find that balance between being aggressive and assertive, or rather just being more trying to seek understanding, not judge somebody right away from that. But
yeah, so far, you know, it seems like there's not been, everybody's just kind of followed whatever the governor's kind of listed as the kind of process. And of course, he's dealing with Boise, which is its own beast in the state of Idaho. Everything else is pretty much rural. And then there's Boise. And so, you know, that's, I think, tough. And I noticed that there's been a lot of some people have been pretty upset with the governor on his process. Both sides, you know, like, the speed at which he opened up made some people angry. The fact that he closed it down at all made some people angry. So, you know, obviously politics, you don't make people happy. It seems like we're just kind of following the route that's laid out before us.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was some concern just kind of right before the governor did the lockdown, that the mayor was going to exert some authority to kind of lock down there, but ended up not happening. But there was concern around that,
and honestly I would just tell people to go listen to last night's meeting, you know, maybe
July 1st
meeting. And hear the conversation there, and you get a good perspective of all the council members
kind of takes
good.
And last night was a long meeting.
Like 4.5-5 hours, something like that. We're used to it now, so
yeah, right. So We also had all this activity of late. Obviously, I've had Ryan Lesh on here, who was a militiaman, or I shouldn't say militiaman, but he was armed down at the BLM protests. And then I had the couple people representing the Solidarity for Black Lives Matter on, and you know, just trying to get all the perspectives and listen to all where everybody's at.
Yeah, check the YouTube of who you've recently had on, just because I said I didn't know much about this. I think it's great.
Yep. So how's that been for you with all the drama surrounding the armed people downtown? I know it's come up at city council.
You know, I mean, I know both sides, right? I know a lot of the I don't really like saying both sides. But that just seems to be kind of
Let's reframe it.
Yeah, maybe, please.
Because you have a group of people who feel compelled by what they're experiencing, what they're feeling, to speak out for a disenfranchised or a minority group that needs that they feel needs a voice.
Right.
And so in that movement going out there at the same time, I don't think both sides is the accurate thing.
Yeah,
to
I don't.
Say.
I mean, so it just seems like what I go to, but I don't really it.
Yes.
Because why can't you be armed and protest? Like, it's just, I don't know.
Correct. And then there was a surrounding that because of riots and because of a registered terrorist group, Antifa, you know, that there was this fear that, right, and I'll use the word fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, and some rumors that there was going to be some type of malicious activity that might utilize that protest to create some chaos. And that was pretty clear that it wasn't actually the Black Lives Matter protesters that was the issue, but the potential of some other nefarious activity that nobody really could define.
Right. And that's where in these situations, it's very important, like it is in any type of conflict resolution, is to seek understanding and perspective. Not so much to be like, you're right or you're wrong, but trying to seek understanding. Like, you know, it may or may not be popular in my view, but I'm like, I can sympathize and understand if you feel that there's a credible threat to our community, why you would want to do that.
Yeah.
Did I feel there was? I personally did not.
Yep.
You know, I was on my bike with my kids, rode by, waved to everybody, went back home, played volleyball at the beach, trying to get our baby out. You know, so it's like, it's, you know, we have a business. If I felt there was a credible threat, I might have been out there too, just chilling, you know, hanging out. Kiddo, I don't know, you know, and but I can sympathize and seek understanding from that perspective, just like those who were marching. Absolutely. Yeah. I can try to seek understanding of why they were marching. And
that's good.
Almost like, why does it have to be them versus them type mindset?
Right.
Where for me, comes down to we should all be against injustices, and again defining what that is, right? What type of injustice, and you know, what is the solution? And I think, in my opinion, part of the problem is we're so used to quick fixes.
Wow, and that's
we're
good
so
point.
Used to quick
really
fixes. It's like, how do you fix something that is that complex? You know, and then we're talking about changing people's minds, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
I'm just going to say that I think whenever we look at problems, one of the biggest things we have to look at is how we frame the problem. Because oftentimes we'll give each problem the wrong framework. And when we give a problem a framework that's not fixable, then there's unlimited frustration, unlimited anger. And so learning how to frame a problem. So like, for example, if you've got a problem in your restaurant and you just declare that this is somebody else's issue and it's nothing that you can do anything about, well, you've already framed the problem so that it'll never change. Right. But if you come in to a problem and you go, okay, what can I do? And I think that's why there was BLM protests, is because people are looking at like, what can I do to, you know, help in this type of situation? And yet, you know, in the big picture of things, you know, nationally, boy, that, you know, who knows how this stuff's going to get solved. We don't know.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. I appreciate that very much. Yeah. one thing I think that I try to do in these scenarios, and I believe honestly we all should do, shitting on people, is not to be dictated by our emotions.
Okay.
Like, I'm all about emotions. You know, I'm very passionate. You know, I'm Latino, so I got, you know, I got that passion, but I try to do my best.
Gets a little inflamed. Yeah.
I try to do my best not to be dictated and let my emotions control my thinking.
Okay.
And that is hard to do, I believe. And
well, and in postmodernism, and just not to get off on a rabbit trail, but more, postmodernists believe that it's your emotions that create your morality. And which is, to me, a very scary place to be, because my feelings change all the time.
Right.
And so what's
going on?
Right? Yeah. What's the compass that we have to use in order to effectively live in a society, you know, being dictated by our emotions is a tough, tough thing. So,
right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's also hard, right? We want answers now. We want solutions.
Quick fixes.
And we're like, time out. Like, we're getting a lot of information, right? Because on top of all of this, you know, it's like there's other aspects of issues going on. And so which ones do you focus on? How much do you focus on? How much of national politics do you bring to a small town?
How much?
Right? Yeah. And
that's a great question.
Yeah. And, you know, for Sandpoint, Idaho, what should we be focusing on? And it's going to look different for different people. So who's right? Who's wrong?
So what should we be focusing on?
Well, I think it would be important to understand that the city is a business, you know, to focus on taking care of our city and how it functions. And, you know, it's so hard, man, because it's such a small town and everybody, we all know each other. Right. And then the social media aspect, I'm sure doesn't help with that. You know, we're already seeing it.
Yeah. It's pretty wild right now, man. I'm telling you, it's insane.
And so again, it comes down to worldview and perspective and it seems like the arguments is the us versus them. Right.
Boy, howdy.
How do we seek conversations? You know, we've been flooded with emails, and rightfully so. That's people's rights to do. And
come on,
as tired as I get, I love it. When people come to me and they're like, "Yo, what do we do? What do we do? This or that?" I'm like, you go to meetings, you get involved. I don't ask them if they're Democrat. I don't ask them, if they're Republican. I don't ask them what their views on the issue. I say, do your thing.
Yep.
That's why we're there. If we have to stay there for 5 hours every single meeting, that is why we ran.
Yeah. Okay. So we're looking at these bigger picture issues. When we talk about the protests and the armed people downtown, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, there's just been a lot of intensity around these conversations. And what's been kind of your takeaways from all those conversations that you've been having around, obviously, the Second Amendment crew, and then the anti having Second Amendment people carrying downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to be careful.
Of course.
You know, I want to be very careful. Smart. I mean, we've had a lot of meetings. Or not a lot of, there's been a lot of dialogue already. I can only tell you from my personal experience with the conversations I've had with people on, again, both sides. You'd be pretty amazed if you have two people willing to dialogue, like we've talked about from the beginning of the show. You'd be amazed how far you can get in trying to seek understanding. Again, not trying to convince somebody of other view, but try to seek understanding on either side. And I've talked to, you know, some of the Second Amendment people, and I don't even like saying that. Like, it's the Second Amendment. It's the First Amendment. It's the Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment.
Okay.
It's an amendment. So I don't like saying those people. So I'll say this. That sounded unfair of me to say.
But what's a better reference point? Because there is a divide.
Correct.
On the issue of open carrying rifles in downtown, you know,
and some people would say, like, Joel, you're nuts for even talking about this.
Come on,
right here.
Hey, man, let's get nuts, man. I'm telling you, this is. So what's the, you know? Okay, so we know we've got this maybe the pro gun and the pro, you know, no gun downtown.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Is that better?
Who knows? Somebody will be offended, I'm sure.
Hey, it's no, just, we're no, good with yeah, that. Yeah, I'm yeah. good with that. As long as they're watching right. and talking about it.
And we've had not just, I'm sure all council members have had, you know, my Absolutely. Voice. I almost feel like I lose my voice every day, to be honest, how much I talk. So at the restaurant right now, I hand out orders through the window. So it's like, I'm constantly talking, not just about politics, but about trying to find out who's orders who and mm-hmm. things like that. So I like, if my voice is raspy, that's why.
Okay.
But seeking understanding and perspective. And I think there is, we're all tempted to fear.
Mm.
And when we have fear, a lot of it's coming from lack of control. That's just any part of our lives, whether okay. our parenting, our relationships. Yeah. It's like the fear of like, they may not agree with me. And I may not get my way. And that's my opinion. And I think that when you got two parties, two individuals that are willing to kind of be vulnerable.
Mm.
But again, that takes a risk, right? Mm-hmm. To be vulnerable, to be like, I'd like to understand your fear.
Mm.
And I really hope you want to understand my fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not resort to name calling.
Yeah.
On either yeah. side, not, yep. You know, that's a logical fallacy, mm-hmm. like attacking the person, not the argument.
Correct. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so
yep.
from, I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, any other council members, having dialogue with these individuals, some that were like emailing me, like I'm trying to call everybody. It's just not possible, you know, to talk to everybody, but those that I've been able and fortunate to talk mm-hmm. to, you know, I've had really good dialogue
mm-hmm.
of like, you know, what if somebody was out of line or this or that, you know, being able to talk to them and being like, have you guys talked to any of these people like besides on Facebook, you know, where I chose to, again, wow. we know each other, acquaintances, right? We yep. a lot of us know by passing, yep. but being able to go and say, hey, I'd like to understand your perspective better.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think as a community, if we can do that, it's not going to fix everything. It's not going to change overnight, but I think it could bring more just peace and understanding.
Yeah. yeah. So one of the things that I see, and I think I talk about this on almost every single show. So I feel like, I feel like it's a dead horse that needs to be killed. one of the things that I'll say is that, that I see a lot of is really bad mind reading.
Oh, so that's huge, right? I'm like, wait, how did you know?
Yeah, like, you know. I know you said that, but I know you really meant, like, no, in your heart of hearts,
right.
you really must just Bro. Be this. And I'm always like,
yeah.
If you can't, okay, number one.
People, we're all guilty of it.
People can change their mind. Okay, right. Let's start there.
Absolutely.
People can change their mind. So they might have said something a year ago, and now they say something different. That doesn't mean that they're disingenuous. It doesn't mean that they're a liar. Nope. It doesn't mean that they've got some nefarious plan mm-hmm. to take over the world. Mm-hmm. It just means that they changed their mind.
100%.
And
we can do that.
And you can change your mind without begging for forgiveness for having a view in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like you don't have to defend. I don't have to defend prior views that yeah. I've had in order to hold a new mm-hmm. view. I can go, actually, this is how I see it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have to be willing to be okay with that.
Yeah. But the mind readers are stuck. Mm-hmm. Let's just be really clear. The yep. mind readers in our community are stuck
mm-hmm.
because there's actual people changing their mind. Mm-hmm. There's people in this conversation in the last 2 weeks who've stepped up to the plate and said, actually, here's where I sit. I've changed my mind. And the world is still going, no, but you're that.
Yeah.
And I think I know exactly what you're thinking. So mm-hmm. just my,
no, you're absolutely right. I mean,
pet peeve of mine.
I see it in my own parenting.
Come on, know, come on, let's go. Yeah.
And that's not fair to do.
That's come on. This is good.
No. And it's just true. I mean, especially, you know, in this hard, right. We want to mind read. We want to, we're all tempted to do that again,
that's
understanding
right.
our biases
uh-huh.
and really understanding logical fallacies and being mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. that's not right. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. know their motive or their heart
yeah.
and, that's not cool. Yeah. I mean, you may not trust the person, but to say that you didn't care about that or you didn't do that, I don't think that's fair or right. Because,
yeah.
you know, if you would have talked to me about politics 2 years ago, I'm different in many respects.
Come on. You know, we learn.
Yeah. And so back to
come on.
you know, the race issue or the gun issue or something, to expect anybody to change their mind like that, not knowing their background, not knowing how they were raised. Again, I'm not talking about right or wrong. I'm just saying, trying to seek understanding, like expecting somebody like me, when I talk to somebody and I believe they might be wrong and we're having a dialogue about whatever the subject matter, for me to expect them to change overnight or vice versa would be very unfair, because you're talking about years. Our brain's very powerful.
Come on.
Yeah. You know, our brain is very powerful. Yeah, come on. And so much of it is developed at a very young age, whether it's trauma, whatever it may be. So again, trying to be compassionate in your conversations and being like, okay, you may not change right away, and that's okay.
So let's say that we've got opposing groups, and what advice are you going to give to people in these opposing sides to begin to come together? Because to me, when I look at what's happening, I'm very simple in the sense of, like, I don't know if it's a gift, but I can usually find the thread that weaves everyone together pretty easily. And so I see these threads that they agree. They disagree. Okay, can we just focus on what we agree on? How do you get these two opposing groups to begin to come together? Is it possible, like, to have two opposing groups in a community begin to come together? How does that happen, Joel?
Right. I can only tell you from personal experience, right?
Yeah.
Great. I can only tell you, like, I have very good friends that would be considered left wing, and I have very good friends that would be considered right wing. And I'm not afraid. Again, I think a lot of it comes down to fear.
Okay.
And, like, it's so okay if somebody
removing fear.
Yeah, if somebody has a different view of me, or even if they think they're wrong, just being like, "That's cool, brother or sister. I would like to know," or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And you're not making a judgment about them, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hearing, is that you're not necessarily making a judgment about them if they disagree with
you. Right. Let me be clear. I still might think they're wrong.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I am judging them.
Okay.
So I think it's very important to distinguish saying, "I disagree with you, but I don't hate you." And I feel those get fused together.
Yeah.
Because I can strongly disagree with you,
yep,
but not hate you.
Yeah.
Or judge you.
So how do you know? Okay. Let's just, how do you know if you hate somebody? Like, what, give me a tell. What's the thing that you would go all of a sudden go, I think I might be harboring, not just ill will, but maybe even hatred in my heart towards somebody. How would you know? Because I think maybe some people need to maybe have something to look at to go, maybe I'm seeing that person the wrong way.
Yeah. That's tough, man, because it's very philosophical, right?
Of course.
Very.
Come on, I think you're prepared for the challenge.
Yeah, I'll just say that. Yeah, because hate, right? Like, you'd have to define what that really is, and I'm not sure if I can perfectly do that.
Yeah.
Being disgusted with somebody, I don't think is hating them. Being annoyed by somebody, I don't think is hating them.
So disagreement does not equal hate.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Right. So we can say that disagreement's not hate. Even disliking somebody is not necessarily hating them.
I think wishing ill will towards
them. There you go.
Or their family or anything like that.
Well, and I think Jesus said it pretty well, that if you hate somebody, it's like murder.
Like murder, right.
Okay, so that ill will, that desire,
like,
to
regardless,
harm,
right? Where maybe a better perspective would be like, man, that guy or they really bugged me, and I really would wish the best for them.
You know? Can you bless them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important to have.
Okay.
And we're all tempted to hate or to dislike. And I mean, that's disagreements,
Okay.
You know, but I think coming to be able to have, like you're talking about, how do we bring these two sides together and stuff. I think, honestly, situations like this, right?
Yeah.
A Chris Bassett saying, "Hey, I'd like to interview you."
Yeah. Come on.
This is a vulnerable position.
It is.
Being here is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know if this is live or not.
It's not live, but it will be.
But yeah. And it's like, but yeah, it's like,
yeah,
you know, because I might say something that whoever's listening is not willing to, they may not understand or they may disagree, but they're not willing to seek understanding and make sure they understood.
Yeah.
And that's out there.
That's good.
And it's not going away. That's good. So it's a very vulnerable position, but I don't believe there's change without there's not a change without a risk.
Okay.
And that risk is vulnerability, but I believe that being vulnerable will beget vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you do that, you're like, okay, I can do this. But me personally, I don't have that fear of being like, well, I better say the right thing or do this so I get reelected or something like that, where it's like,
back to the motives, right?
Yeah, I'm very, I'm cool, bro. Like, so, in that regard, like, worst case scenario, I get more time with my family.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm loving the conversation.
I appreciate that. I really
love the conversation, because I think that one of the missing pieces that we have is, and one of the reasons why we started this particular show and we start with a good report, is because we are not seeing people from differing perspectives as people anymore. You know, they're enemies.
Yeah.
And that's just horrible, horrible logic. It's a horrible way to live your life, is to have people that you disagree with become enemies. And even if there's really big things on the line and you feel like you're in a war, we are in a community. So you have to find a different way to win, you know, than treating it like a war. I think that you should be honest. I think you should be bold. I think people need to be honest about what they believe and why they believe it.
They believe it 100%.
And go for it, right? Go for it. Like, be bold, but then honor people as being people.
Yep.
You know, I think that's just key.
And that's how, you know, again, I always say, like, for me, is because I can only really speak for myself.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, like, I don't want this conversation to be like, oh, it's all about Joel. But at the end of the day, I'm the only one that I'm responsible for.
That's right.
And, you know, my family to a certain degree. But just we're not here that long. You know, life's a vapor. Life's like that, brother. You know that. I know that. Like, I look back, I'm like, where are all these years? You're asking me a question about when I first ran for city council. I'm 2 years ago. I don't know. You know, so like, coming out to reality, that's really we're good. Like, you know, I made peace with my creator, and I'm not going to be here forever. And that's okay good. For
yeah.
me.
Yeah, come on.
Like, that's okay for me. However, I got 4 children that I'm like, what could you do, like we talked about earlier in the episode, to make this world a better place?
Yeah.
And
it's good.
Teaching them personal responsibility. And we have these conversations with our children at their level. We don't shelter them from that. They ask me how city council went, or they ask me, you know, what is BLM?
Come on, that's
you
good.
Know, yeah. I don't shut that down. I'm like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I want them to be able to be participants in their community as they get older.
That's right. Yeah, and, that's excellent.
That's really good. And being able to dialogue, and it's not going to happen perfectly. Right. But being willing to be vulnerable, I think, is a very big, big thing.
What's been the hardest, just to keep moving forward, what's been the hardest decision you've had to make on city council? The hardest vote you've had to take up so far?
I want to be careful it's hard when I look at a particular situation. There's specific ones in mind, but when you look at a situation and you're like, man, this was all done according to the law that we have as a standpoint, according to the rules. But this side, you know them, and they don't want that. And you're like, but they didn't do anything wrong, and they shouldn't be punished or said no, because the people I know may not want that. And I understand why they don't. I get that completely.
Yeah.
So coming down again to motive and like, I have to do what I believe is the right thing.
Yeah.
And it may not be popular, but.
And it may not be, to some people, it might not feel fair.
Right. And that's a situation like, those are the hard, those I was just speaking decisions like that's that, great. Right? Okay. As opposed to specific. Great. Specific ones, but also being willing to be like, you know what, I may have not made the best vote. And I think there's almost this demand for perfection. They don't it's not said whether it's national politics or not, like, can't believe you made a mistake. And I think that there's a lot of people that don't get involved into politics that assume how easy it is, or this or that, where I'm like, hey, get involved. it's that simple. And then you see like how our system's set up where you shouldn't have quick changes like that. I mean, it'd be unstable in my opinion, where we have a council of six, you know?
Yeah.
And, but those types of decisions are hard, being a small community, knowing people. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very hard.
Yep.
Because it's funny, because sometimes they'll be like, you almost see like this, not divide, but like, hey, they want this, they want this. But sometimes they're on the same side, depending on this, the situation.
And, yeah, yeah.
That's why we have to look at what's in front of us. Uh-huh. The, you know, and it's hard.
Come on.
It is hard. It is. Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing.
Wow.
For anybody. I respect anybody who goes to a council meeting and speaks. I care less what, if they're for or against what I think, to take time out of your day to sacrifice to go and speak or to get involved, I respect 100%.
Yeah, that's great.
100%. That's why I don't ask people like, oh, well, you want to come to the meeting, but what do you believe? I'm like, go.
Yep.
Go or don't go.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, totally up to them. So you are in a, and this might get, it's going to get personal. Mm-hmm. You're in a small minority of mm-hmm. people who aren't white in this community. Tell me what that's like, been like for you.
Yeah. You know, that's obviously, that got brought up when I ran for city council.
Okay.
And I want to encourage listeners. I want to encourage us to be like, I might have a different view than you, you know, I might think differently and I could be wrong and I'm willing to talk about it and try to seek better understanding if you think I'm wrong. I hear a lot of things in town, right? You hear a lot of things in a small community. Come I think on. Every small community, Sandpoint's not unique in that area.
Not at all.
But for example, somebody comes to me and they go, oh, so-and-so said this. Can you believe it? I'm like, I believe that you feel that. And I'm not going to say you didn't hear that, but I didn't see it. So I'm not going to hold that judgment against an individual unless I know for a fact.
Come on.
I don't care who you're talking about or what's going on. It's like, I didn't see it. You know, and you see a lot. I've heard on both sides, for example, with the you know, the gun people harassing the protesters and the protesters even harassing the gun people and provoking. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can say, if these things happen, that's absolutely, you know, I'd love to see the police reports and let's talk about it. Let's just continue to have conversations. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, people be like, oh, I heard this, I heard that. And I'm like, or somebody said this to me and I'm like, well, I am very sorry if that really happened. But if I didn't see that person say that to you, I don't believe it'd be fair for me to judge them for that.
Okay.
And so when, you know, people bring up the race issue here at Sandpoint, you know, obviously many, not everybody's aware of our history of, you know, the KKK or, you know, the white supremacy, which I think Mr. Butler was his name.
Yeah, Richard, good old.
I'll tell you, Mr. Butler liked our tacos. Okay, it doesn't make him not racist, but I'm just...
Yeah, he likes so your tacos. Okay.
It's just funny, man.
I love it. You're the best. But that's
somebody,
so great.
If somebody, like...
That was funny.
Came up to me and said a racial slur, I can only speak for myself. I'd be like, brother, sister, like, that ain't cool, man.
Yeah.
And I would like to know why you feel that way.
Yeah. Has that happened?
I'm not going to take it personally.
Has that happened?
No, I don't believe I experienced... a lot of no racism, right? And somebody might say, well, yeah, you grew up here. You know, you have a restaurant.
You're local. Friend.
Yeah. And that very well may be true. And that's something to consider. Cool. Right?
If the food was horrible.
Yeah, I called.
Because you got some of the best food in town. Well, I'm just going to plug it. Yeah, all right, there you go. Come on, get some Joel's.
Best on the corner, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's right.
But me personally, no, you know, and I'll let you guys connect the dots. But I talked to a gentleman that's very close to me who's from Mexico. And it's like, have you experienced racism in America? You know, coming to America, how to learn how to speak English, how to work really hard to be an American citizen, you know, the testing and all that.
Yeah.
You would know. And it's, have you experienced racism? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From Mexicans, being Mexican, from other Mexicans. And then it comes down to, okay, is it racism? Is it prejudice? What's the difference?
Cultural differences.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, you know, it's like, and then like from Black people, from white people, Because we're all susceptible to that.
Mm.
And yes, some get it more than others, and there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But one thing is, yep. What's the secret, right? And it was very fascinating to me. Mm. And it doesn't mean this is going to fix everything for everybody.
Not at
this
all,
is
yeah.
just a personal testimony. Yeah. Not playing the victim.
Hmm.
Not being staying the victim. Was he victimized at times? Are we all victimized at times? 100%. But not staying the victim.
Hmm.
And saying, how can I get out of this and not stay here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say as a human being, it's very tempting to stay mm-hmm. the victim.
There's entire ideologies built around
100%.
It. 100%.
Yep. And not staying the victim, saying, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to believe again mm-hmm. about me or my skin color mm-hmm. or me, I got a family to feed. I got bills to pay.
Yeah.
I am going to rise above that yeah. as best as I can. I may not make it, but there's no change without a risk, and I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to work hard. Now, I understand not everybody. Some people try to do that, and they don't succeed.
That's right. Yeah.
Sometimes they try a lot of times, and then they finally succeed.
Yeah.
In this particular case, he succeeded by working hard and still working hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I tell people is we can be our own worst enemy sometimes.
Mm.
And not saying it's cool what you go through, whether it's racism or, you know,
there's,
you know, all that.
Yeah,
trying, you know, it's not staying the victim was, and that's just one of the ways of success. I would say there's mm-hmm. other things out there. But that was a very touching story for me in light of all what's going on, mm-hmm. you know? And so back to for personally feel, racism, no. And there might be people that have here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sympathize with that. You know, I called a few of my black friends that live here. And I'm like, hey, be real with me. You know, one's from Queens. Mm-hmm. Moved up here with his Puerto Rican wife. Lived here for quite a few years. And we became friends instantly. He's a good friend of mine. And I'm like, tell me what you really feel, please. If you're willing, please tell me. I mean, you know, he's from New York. He's got that swagger, yo. You know, mm-hmm. He's like, you know, there's been a couple of times where I'm like, maybe, but no, it's been good. And I was like, I appreciate your perspective. Mm-hmm. Now that's not going to be everybody else's experience.
Correct. Yep.
That's his experience, but yep. I did my due diligence and I called some other people and they had very similar stories. And then there may be stories that are not like that I would love to hear. But when you talk about the issue of racism, Chris, how do you fix that overnight? How do you change somebody's heart?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's racism
yep.
or any type of bigotry.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. defining yep, what that totally. Is, not bigotry to disagreeing with mm-hmm. somebody.
Yep.
So how do you do that? By being aggressive? By being assertive? By holding up a sign? By holding up a gun? How do you change somebody's heart?
Yeah.
And again, what I was talking about earlier,
yeah,
like
yeah.
what type of upbringing, well, you know, yeah, what's going yeah. on.
Come on. We don't know,
you know? And so it's, again, that's me.
What do you think? Like, what do you think? What's the answer to that question? How would you answer that question?
Be the change you want to see.
Come on. There you go.
Be the change that's you want to see.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
You know, I remember having a hard time.
Love it.
And you know, it's, get pretty emotional about it, but you know, I remember my wife saying, be the change you want to see. And that hit me so hard.
Hmm.
And probably the strongest words I've ever said to me. Because at the end of the day, we can only influence our sphere of influence.
That's right.
And part of the reason I get emotional is because I care about this community.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I've been here since I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I care about these people. Mm-hmm. They care about me. Yeah. And it's a great trade-off. Even if I disagree with them or they disagree
Come
with
on.
Me,
yeah.
It really at the end of the day is a good community. So back to your race issue, you know, somebody brought up the flyers, right? When I was running for my campaign, I grabbed that piece of paper. I said, this is what I do with it. I crumble it. I throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue on my day and being try to be the nicest person I can and be the change that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And focus more on the good in this community than the few knuckleheads.
Yep. I was telling a friend of mine this last week, you know, we are having lunch and I said, you know, the more that you try to shine, shine or pour gasoline on somebody who's a, who's like a burning ember about to go out, and then you throw some more stuff on it, it gets bigger. It gets bigger. So quit right. putting so much focus and attention, you know, on, on something that could be dying.
100%.
And, you know, it was just part of a bigger conversation. But one of the things that, that we do have are, you know, when it comes to those flyers and different things, there are some real people that live in the area that have very strong views about race and have very strong views about that. And I don't care to give them any influence in my life at all. Yep. None. They get zero. Zero influence. The same thing for me on social media. There's some people who would love to attack and get angry and get all, you know, like get all trolly. And I'm like, nope, you don't get that influence in my life.
Well, Chris, let's be honest.
Yeah.
How many people's minds have you changed debating on Facebook? Like, if we were all to be honest with everybody watching, myself, like, is that where we, is that where we make the difference?
You know what you do is that you, you actually insulate yourself, because then the only people that you interact with online, unless it's an argument, are people who are already in your camp. So it doesn't actually change anything for really anybody.
Right. Absolutely. Where this type of conversation,
come on,
these types of dialogue actually make changes. And the hard part is it might take time. It might take time.
It's going to take time.
And at the end of the day,
we know it.
You're a human.
We know it.
I'm a human.
Yeah, get it.
I'm not only a human, I'm fallible. And I can only do so much.
Yeah, that's good.
You can only do so much. The people watching can only do so much. So the question comes down to, one of the questions is, how much can I really change the world? But also changing my community, but also changing my family, also changing myself, and not being spread too thin where you actually become worthless.
You know what? I'm just going to throw this out there, Joel. I want to see Sandpoint become such a healed community that it is a shining light to the rest of the world on a, what a small community that's been divided can achieve together. Like, what could we look like if we were able to break through these divides? To me, that's exciting.
That'd be beautiful. That'd be a very beautiful thing. Even with disagreeing on things.
Totally disagreeing. Yeah, and we're still gonna have Democrats. We're still gonna have Republicans. We're still gonna have libertarians.
Strange creatures in between.
Yeah, we're gonna have the hard left, and we're gonna have readouters. We're gonna have a broad swath of humanity that feel differently, that think differently. But what if we could break through and really live in a place where there was peace? Where we could really, like, genuinely love one another in our differences.
And, you know,
that gets me excited. That gets me excited.
So two things. One, I thought you were going to say, how can we make Sandpoint great again? I was going to be like, edit that out.
Call it the saga. We call it the saga.
I was like, don't go there.
Yeah, okay. No, no, I'm not. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah.
But I think people, I know I did, forget that conflict's not always a bad thing.
That's right.
You're human, you're going to have conflict. Anybody who's ever had a friend knows that. Anybody who's ever been married knows that. Or been a boss or an employee, you know. So it's not that the conflict's bad, is how do you have conflict resolution?
Yeah.
And that is something that I've learned through, again, my foot in my mouth.
Come on.
Know, being my own worst enemy and having people smarter than me help me out.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
And so to your, how can we make Sandpoint a peaceful place? I think people, us realizing, me realizing that I'm not going to do that on Facebook. I'm not going to do that on Twitter. I'm not going to do that on Instagram. And I can't change the nation. I can't change the White House. I can't change Seattle. I can't change any Georgia, anywhere. I am only a human. You're only a human. Everybody watching is only a human. And I feel like we can feel, I just can't do that. And that's okay. You know, we can only be the... affect our sphere of influence. And so it comes down to, like, how much of the national politics do we bring to our community? My answer might be different than your answer. But we can't do it all.
That's a good word. That's great. That's great. I love that. Okay. So, We think we'll probably feel like we're getting ready to kind of wrap things up a little bit. So was there anything else that you felt like you really felt like you wanted to share? Anything about current events or things that have been happening at the city that you felt like, hey, here's a word of encouragement or something that you felt like you wanted to share?
I think that it'd be important for all of us as a community. And I don't want to sound preachy, right? I don't want this to be
preach.
Yeah. but it's funny.
I'll get my hanky out. We'll start running around the studio, you know? sorry, sound man.
And it's hard because we all say it, right? We all need mm-hmm. to be more compassionate.
Yep.
I keep hitting this mic. We need to be more compassionate. Mm-hmm. I think more understanding.
Yeah.
More being okay if somebody disagrees with
me. That's right.
But seeking understanding is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeking mm-hmm. understanding. Mm-hmm. Fear is tough because I don't want to tell somebody, oh, you shouldn't be afraid of that. Because they really might be.
That's right.
Even if I may
think
that.
Well, and then you're discounting their experience.
You know, like I've talked to some people and they feel like they're like, I don't want to walk downtown because it's a racist community. Where I'm like, interesting. I think it's completely safe to walk downtown, but I'm not going to tell you your fear is not valid because that's how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Again, it comes down to seeking understanding and validating, not saying you're wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And, but like, what would, you know, what, how can we get beyond that?
Yeah.
You know, and same thing, I think, you could say with, you know, with some of the gun people I talked to, what's your, non-lethal weapons of choice if something were to happen? Right. And being okay with being challenged and not reacting or overreacting.
Come on.
I'm both. Sides, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think that's important. But again, I can understand why people would have fears.
Yep.
And how can we use this as an opportunity, as a learning lesson for the future? And I mean, and here's the deal, people listening, Chris, myself, we're not going to fix this in this conversation.
Not today.
Right? We're not going to fix it tomorrow. Shoot, it's not even going to be fixed a year from now. It takes work, commitment, and really trying to seek understanding.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That's a very big one in my opinion. Yeah. And not take things so personal.
Okay.
Like I said, like if somebody thinks you're wrong, that's cool, man. It's all good. I don't got to call you an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't.
Totally. Yeah.
It's all
absolutely.
Good.
Like, that's
you
really
know,
good.
Like, don't let that, you know, don't let that eat you up or, you know, bitterness too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not healthy. And, you know, I've been really encouraging people in conversations to step off the ledge. And, you know, when it comes to fear and it comes to the slippery slope fear and the fear of like, oh, if this happens, then this will happen, this will happen. You know, so, you know, there's always like, listen, good people always, not always, but I think in our community, good people rise to the occasion and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that. And I do think that the issue around fear is all about what you put your faith in, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, Jesus or Muhammad or anything. I'm just talking about, you know, what reports and what things do you choose to put your faith in? Do you choose to put your belief in? Because if I listen to this show and I put my, and I decide to put my faith in, the evil of people, then I'm going to see people as evil and I'm going to live in greater fear. But if I put my faith, if I choose to believe the report that actually people are wanting peace and they're wanting kindness and they're wanting to do things well and to really like build this community in a healthy way, then my fear will be dealt with a different way, you know?
Right.
So I think we got to choose what we're believing and what reports are we believing right now?
Right. You know? And being patient, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Being very patient.
Yeah.
And honestly, like when you see things on social media or people say things like, and it sounds really bad, I personally try to think like that's not really how they feel. They just don't know how to really deal with those emotions. Mm. Never really were taught how to handle those emotions. Yeah. Where I feel like overreactions might be something deeper that maybe that we don't know how to deal with. And the more I think we know ourselves, the better we can control those types of emotion. Again, I think they stem from the fear aspect.
Yeah.
And again, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Come on.
You know, that's okay. We're not going to solve this overnight. And I really appreciate you having me on this show. And I really hope people don't feel like it was like a Dr. Phil type thing. No, I just feel this is...
I think people are curious about... This is the conversation people need to have. You know, I think conceptually, philosophically, you know, there's a lot of big concepts that we've dove into today. And with that, there's a lot of challenging thoughts that hopefully will cause some people to check their motive, to look at the different arenas of their life where they might be driven out of fear, and what it is that they're really looking at. What are they seeing? Are we seeing people as human? Are we allowing each other to be fallible? Are we allowing each other not to be perfect? And maybe to step out of the cocoon of social media a little bit, you know, and do some of that. I keep saying, put it down. So, and you know, I don't do politics on Facebook really, you know, because I've got such a diverse group of friends and the last thing I want to do is offend my friends, you know, like I don't want to create unnecessary.
And I think that's the key word, unnecessary.
I actually love people. Like I love them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw that on your show, which I'm really excited to come on here.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you came on.
Yeah, me too, man.
That's good. This has been a fun time.
I think it's great. And I want you to know that if there's ever, you know, you want to get two different people on here and dialogue, I'll dialogue with people, bro.
Come on, let's do it.
No problem with that.
Sounds great. Yeah. Sounds great. I think I've been hearing the ask for opposing views to be on at the same time. So I might be switching up the layout in here a little bit and see what we can do to get some moderated conversations going. You know, we'll see how that goes, but you know, who knows, but you know, we'll see. You know, I just really want, I felt like, you know, when I started this last year, that this was something that the community needed.
Absolutely.
And especially community leaders needed. Because you wouldn't have been able to say most any of that in an op-ed in the paper.
Right. 100%. I agree. This is a wonderful thing. And I encourage this more.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and if you know of a good guest or somebody that you think be interested in talk to, shoot them my way.
Absolutely.
Bro. All right, same thing for you out there in the Barner Breakdown land. We appreciate you watching today, and well, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. All right, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, awesome. Endpoint.